Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. I bring to my broadcast table today here on PTIB, David James, as we will rehearse the events of the past year, 2020. This is a year in which we can learn from our past experiences as we look at this very different year. We then are prepared to look into the future, into the new year 2021, and pray for the rapture, which indeed could happen even today. Just let me quickly remind you of my website for 2021. It'll be a great location for you to bookmark because it'll help you in your study of Bible prophecy. That's prophecytoday.com. We now bring to these microphones David James. David comes to the broadcast table here on Prophecy Today on a weekly basis with me. I'm so grateful to have David along. He does a lot of great research, and we appreciate the people that write in to us with emails telling us we have helped them to come to some conclusions on these issues that we are discussing. David, hope you and your family had a wonderful Christmas. I'll wish you a happy new year right now if I forget to do it at the end. Each and every year, David, you and I come together to look at a year in review. In fact, you gave me the idea, I do believe, for this year. One of the things we started doing in 2020 was answering listeners' questions almost every week. And so that's how I thought it'd be good to start today's discussion with an interesting email about the Abraham Accords.
Yeah, well, thanks, Jimmy. And we did have a great Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family and colleagues there in Tennessee. So our listener wrote this. There's been a lot of talk on the internet about the Abraham Accord peace coin and the symbols on the back side. Could you address what many are describing as prophetic? Thank you, and God bless your ministry. So as you know, Jimmy, this peace plan led to normalized relations between Israel and four Arab states, the UAE, Bahrain, Sudan, and more recently Morocco, but I wasn't aware of the coin. And on the front of the coin is a skyline of Jerusalem combined with Abu Dhabi, with Israel and the UAE flags above it, and below it, Abraham Accord is written in Arabic, Hebrew, and English, and below that is the seal of the President of the United States. And on the back is a quote from Jeremiah in Hebrew and from the Quran in Arabic and English with President Trump's signature at the bottom. Then the main symbol is an Islamic scimitar, a sword that morphs into symbols of peace and prosperity as well as agricultural and technological advances. And honestly, it's really very strange. So I've seen articles and videos saying this is nefarious symbolism related to a satanic endgame under the Antichrist. And while I would say that maybe some conclusions about the symbols are a stretch, you have to ask what the designer was trying to communicate. So are these prophetic symbols with satanic clues hidden in plain sight? I don't know. But we do know that there will be a satanically inspired peace treaty during Daniel's 70th week that will be affirmed and put into place by the Antichrist based upon Daniel chapter 9.
Yes, I agree 100%. You know, we continually endeavor to try to teach ourselves and others as well that we look to the Word of God for the absolute truth, not to a coin or to any other symbol of any type, except we must go to the absolute Word of God. And that's what we endeavor to do, not only answering our questions, but discussing our issues as well. David, next week we're going to be taking a forward look at the year ahead. So going back to that discussion that we had at the beginning of 2020, why don't we just take a moment, and I want to ask you, is there anything that stands out to you in particular from that first program in 2020?
Well, Jimmy, I keep notes from all of our discussions, and I see that I had just arrived in the Philippines for my first international trip of the year, which ended up being the first of only two trips. One of the things we talked about was the upcoming presidential election, and of course, that was one of the top news stories of the year, and I know you'll want to get back to that in a few minutes. Another thing we talked about was the ongoing rise of anti-Semitism around the world, which has been a serious problem, and we also talked about how some in the church contribute to this in a more subtle way because of replacement theology, which denies that Israel has a place in God's program in the future. Two major things we didn't see coming were the coronavirus pandemic and the civil unrest across the country with the widespread destruction and loss of life. And of course, there were many other important things we talked about over the course of the year.
David, you just mentioned the presidential election, and of course it turned out to be very contentious and controversial, and in fact, it's still in some ways, it's that same way. But maybe we can talk about some of the positive things that the president accomplished during his tenure, and especially in this last year, 2020. These are topics that we've discussed throughout the year. Get to those if you will.
Well, I think there are any number of positive things to give President Trump credit for during this very difficult year. One lasting impact was the ongoing lifetime appointments of federal judges who are constitutional originalists. During the first presidential debate, President Trump said this: by the end of the first term, I will have approximately 300 federal judges and Court of Appeals judges, 300, and hopefully three great Supreme Court justices as well. And Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed on October 26th, tipping the Supreme Court to the conservative side as the president's third justice appointment, joining Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, and of course Thomas and Alito are also solid conservatives. The president successfully fulfilled his promise to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in 2017 and has continued to work to bring peace to the region with the Abraham Accord that we talked about earlier. And of course, there won't be true peace there until Christ returns, but I do think it puts the United States in a place of blessing because of the Abrahamic covenant. Another legacy of this administration is its pro-life stance, leading to a number of states enacting stricter abortion laws, including heartbeat bills. And of course, on the other side, there are those who accuse the president of mishandling the COVID crisis, as well as things related to the dramatic unrest in cities across the country that we mentioned a few minutes ago.
You know, over the course of this past year, we talked about the elections several times, and the radically different platforms of the Republican and the Democratic parties. This should be of a great concern for believers as we think about the results of this last presidential election.
Well, Jimmy, as I said when we discussed this back in October, we try to be careful about how we deal with political issues, and so we don't just blindly support any particular party or candidate or advocate for one or the other, except to the degree that it reflects biblical values. So at the same time, these moral and ethical issues that we're concerned about and discuss all the time are inevitably intertwined with politics, and I have deep concerns about Biden and Harris on philosophical and moral grounds. As a practicing Catholic, Biden was denied communion at a church in South Carolina, and a priest in Fort Worth told faculty at his school that they were not to celebrate Biden's election publicly on social media, calling him a pro-abortionist. As an attorney, Kamala Harris described herself as a progressive prosecutor, and she's pushed to the left on issues like the death penalty and has been a staunch supporter of the LGBTQ community. And she supports very few abortion restrictions, wants to eliminate the Electoral College, to slash the defense budget, to repeal statutes against illegal immigration. She once compared ICE officers to the KKK. And back in August, Franklin Graham observed that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are labeled as the most pro-abortion presidential ticket in the history of our nation. Jimmy, I think it's very likely that Joe Biden will need to step down because of his health, perhaps not too far into his presidency, making Harris the president, and I think that is a legitimate concern.
And I think we'll look at that next week as we look at 2021, a prophetic perspective. Well, David, let's now move to the coronavirus pandemic. As you said, we certainly did not see this coming, but we did talk quite a bit about it, and as well as everybody else talking about it, once we were in the middle of it. Remind us of some of the more important things that we discussed.
Well, it's certainly been one of the toughest years for many of us in a long time, and perhaps for some in their lifetime, and we've tried to use our platform and influence to bring some balance and perspective to a situation that's been so polarizing and divisive at every level of relationships. Our first discussion of the COVID crisis was on March 14th, and on that program, we talked about Jim Baker hawking colloidal silver as a cure for COVID, something that got him into serious legal trouble, and the pandemic has affected churches and families, and it's personal for me, Jimmy. My father, who is in a nursing home with COPD, emphysema, and congestive heart failure, is now tested positive. I think one of the most important things that we've tried to bring attention to is the need for us to think the best of one another and stop lobbing accusation grenades at those with whom we disagree about on how to handle this. And I've seen this happen far too much over the course of this year. And there are sincere and godly people all across the broad spectrum on this issue within churches and among friends and within families. And so we all need to be loving toward one another as we sometimes need to kindly agree to disagree. And next week, as we look at the year ahead, I'm going to discuss why I think we may be at the brink of this whole thing spinning out of control even more so than it is right now.
Wow, that's a great teaser. And by the way, I just heard that your dad has tested positive. Judy and I will be praying for your dad. I hope others listening in will do that same thing as well. David, another major issue for much of 2020 that you mentioned earlier was the unrest across the country, which was some of the worst that we've seen in decades. And in fact, we're still seeing ripple effects of those unrest activities.
That's true. The civil unrest began at the end of May with an event that the New York Times article described this way. On May 25th, Minneapolis police officers arrested George Floyd, and Jimmy, you and I know what has happened since then, and he died as a result of being in custody there. We've seen it play out on TV. And so it's been tough to watch our country being torn apart day after day as people lose their livelihoods and even their lives. And adding to it have been politicians who have weaponized the crisis for a political advantage in an election year. And, you know, we talked about this in June and reminded our listeners of Ephesians 6:12, where Paul talks about we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this age. So, you know, Jimmy, by God's grace, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, as the hymn goes. And so we trust him as we go forward, looking back at 2020 and next week at 2021.
Well, as we look back at 2020, I would say that the Lord, I'm not trying to be unkind to the Lord, but he missed a great opportunity for the rapture. And if it doesn't happen before the end of the year, 2021, I would say the best year for the rapture to take place. And what we've talked about in our conversations, indicating we have tangible evidence that rapture could happen at any moment. David, great research and thinking back with us through 2020. Looking forward to a 2021, a prophetic perspective. That's going to be a great conversation. So looking forward to being with you then. And by the way, have a happy new year. We'll see you after the next year begins.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. I look forward to it.
You know, in the Bible, we are often reminded to look back so that we can learn from our past experiences and then to look forward into the new year with great anticipation of what the Lord has for us in 2021. Maybe even the rapture, which could happen today. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. May we here at Prophecy Today wish each and every one of you a blessed new year. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.